From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. A whistleblower from Boeing passes away. Incredibly suspicious circumstances that we'll break down. Rudy Giuliani is talking about having $43,000 a month budget, even though he's filed for bankruptcy. A lot of money to have on hand when you're filing for bankruptcy. Am I right?
We'll get into this. That's what he says he needs.
Of course.
And anything above that, then that's what's going to pay off the responsibilities he has to the people he lied about and lives he's ruined.
So before we get into that, a Washington man was sentenced for forcing people into servitude while living a lavish lifestyle. Now, to my knowledge, I've seen nobody else cover this. Laura, can you fact check me on this really quick? I can't find anybody else who's talking about this other than the News Tribune. I didn't see, again, I'm happy to be fact checked. I'm happy to be wrong about this, but I'm going to set up this premise in real time. And if I'm wrong, I will be wrong. And I'm okay with that because I have a very healthy ego. So the owner of a Vashon Island landscaping company was sentenced on Tuesday in federal court for smuggling people across the U.S.-Mexico border and forcing them into servitude while living a lavish lifestyle with his family. The gentleman's name is Jesus Ruiz Hernandez. He is 45 years old. He's been sentenced to 20 years in prison for 21 felonies related to human trafficking and forced labor. He went under the name of, let me see if I can find this in the court documents, Cristo Jesus Escobar Solares. That's my California Spanish for you. Well, on done. Full display. I do know Espanol. He lured victims from his hometown of Vista Hermosa in the, God, I'm such, it's such California Spanish, Laura. This is just so bad to hear me say it. Because if I'm in California and I say Vista Hermosa, everyone knows exactly what I'm saying. But if you're an actual Spanish speaker, you have to be just busting up right now as to how Californian it is. In the Mexican state of Michoacán, right?
It's not Michoacán?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
With the promise of a better life, he required his victims to put up their family properties as collateral and temporarily relinquish parental rights, according to a previous News Tribune story. He then put the victims to work for his company, Brothers Landscaping, also known as Hermosa Landscaping. Right? Hermosos?
You got me.
El Pollo Hermosa? El Hermoso Pollo? I don't know. What is it?
There's a chicken. Stuffle your head.
Okay, thank you so
there's
much,
There's a chicken
Laura.
Involved in Pollo, right?
Well, I was making
By
it.
By the way, our very own My Northwest did also have this story.
Only after I brought it up. When did they post it?
Yesterday.
Oh,
they
okay.
possibly beat the News Tribune by maybe an hour.
Okay, well, who wrote the story?
Frank Sumerall, of course.
Frank, my man. Oh, that's
is there a duck eaten in this story that I should
yeah,
know
Yeah, geez. Sorry, we're talking about chickens. So my thought about it was, is that there's not a lot of coverage on this, but there should be more coverage on it. But why is there not a lot of coverage on it? Why isn't this? Because this is human trafficking in this state. Human trafficking is a major issue. Why is Seattle Times? Why isn't anybody else covering this? Why isn't anybody else talking about this at great length? What is going on with the systems in Washington state that allow this kind of human trafficking to take place? And I think I know why, Mr. O'Neill.
Why?
Because his name is Cristo Jesus Escobar Solares.
What do you mean? Well, how would that limit coverage?
Because I think that there is a tremendous amount of negative coverage against immigrants, both legal and illegal. And I think that a lot of news outlets make the decision to shy away from that in retaliation to the kind of garbage arguments that are brought forth by people who are against immigration. So as an example, there was the Say Her Name movement, which came as a result of that illegal immigrant killing that young girl in Virginia, right?
I remember this.
And everybody was saying, this never happened under the Trump administration, even though if you go in the Wayback Machine on Google and you type in 2017 to 2021 illegal immigrant kills college girl, you will get multiple multiple hits from
absolutely
that.
Did.
So I think what a lot of media does is they try to avoid talking about these kinds of stories because they affirm inadvertently the racism that people already have against immigrants or people from other countries.
That's a really solid take on this. Because on first look, you think, okay, here's a guy. First off, how do you sneak people into the country to human traffic them? I mean, I'm not looking to find out how he did it so I can replicate, but that's pretty elaborate. He went to his hometown and almost emptied the entire hometown, bringing people up here, getting them to agree to give up property. So basically, he's promising them a life in the new world, right?
Already went over this.
A job opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, you're right about, I think there is the fear of contributing to xenophobia in the vilification of the foreign element of this country. You're right.
And there are media personalities out there that see a story like this and they run with it because it is what their audience wants to hear, which is that immigrant bad, Hispanic bad, black person bad, whatever it might be. And it's unfortunate, but there are people who do make a decent amount of money living in that kind of media world where they are trying to kind of fly under the radar while also winking and nodding at people who have racist or bigoted ideas. I'm not coming down on people who are concerned about immigration. That's a completely legitimate concern to have.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders himself has concerns about immigration in the United States, right? So this isn't something that's removed from anybody based on political preference. The issue is that a lot of people who are concerned about immigration have been kind of infiltrated by bigots and racists who want this country to be primarily a white country.
Yeah.
And so they use stories like this to say or to showcase or to better outline their argument, right?
Yeah. And this is a citizen, legal citizen, Mr. Solaris. Is it Escobar Solaris? I'm not sure how to pronounce
that. That's his assumed name.
My apologies.
Jesus Ruiz Hernandez.
Mr. Hernandez is a U.S. citizen, I'm assuming. If you're able to get across the border and back and bring people with you, you're not doing that on temporary status.
No.
I mean, if you look at the story and all of its different intricacies, it's exactly opposite what the xenophobics are afraid of. This isn't somebody who's muling people in and dropping them off. This is a U.S. citizen who's exploiting third world or Mexican citizens.
Yeah, and I think it's okay. You know, I think people need to be able to talk about these things in a really rational way without including ethnicity or whatever their presuppositions about quote unquote race might be, which for those of you who don't know, race as a concept is an invented term. It doesn't actually exist. We're only variations in ethnicities, which we separate by something called Klein's. In genetics.
Klein's are
the phenotypic differences between...
Phenotypic means... I'm sorry, you're playing at a higher level than most of us out here, buddy.
The genealogical expressions of our anatomy.
I got it.
So we all share the same genetic code. However, there are different phenotypic expressions between human beings, whether it's melanin...
Phenotype just means what's actually happening in your body, based on like what genes win.
Exactly.
Of you.
Basically, what's being expressed, right? And so when you
do physical attributes and traits,
how
your mom and your dad mix genes together, and then one of them, what some combination of that wins, and that's your phenotypic expression.
I'll give you an example. I mean, there are people from Caracas, or there are people from Oaxaca in Mexico who have a higher VO2 max than almost any other group in the world, and they can run for something like 200 miles a day.
Okay.
That is an example of a phenotypic expression, right? It's a genetic expression. So, but what racists will do is that they'll say that there are hard line differences between a white man and everybody else, basically, because they're racist. Mm. But what they don't realize is that they share almost entirely the same genetic code as anybody else on the planet, despite these very subtle differences that we see externally that are brought about largely by environment.
Is it fair to say analogy would be like they're all internal combustion engines? Some of them have tail fins, some of them have round bumpers.
Very based indeed, cool. My friend. All a little right. bit of dad
Thanks,
logic.
Man. Thanks.
Whistleblower Josh Dean of Boeing supplier Spirit Aerosystems has died. Now, according to his family, he was 45 years old. He's very health conscious. And this is a really weird circumstance. So, in 2 weeks, he goes from feeling a little ill to developing bacterial pneumonia and then to have a stroke, all within the time span of about 14 days. Now, I'm not removed from saying that this is all the fault of the vaccine, Spike. It's the squid demons we've been putting into our bodies for 5G. What's weird about this is that 6 weeks ago, the other whistleblower committed suicide.
Correct.
And now you have this guy who was represented by the exact same law firm, who now a health-conscious 45-year-old, all of a sudden out of nowhere develops bacterial pneumonia, then has to be put on a machine to basically keep his organs functioning, and then they do a CT scan that shows that he somehow had a stroke. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm not making any accusations,
but
Boeing.
It's the kind of thing you hear when someone's dealing with Putin.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, this is hard to say, wow, what a shame.
Right.
A healthy 45-year-old in 2 weeks goes from healthy to dead.
It's quite bizarre. And so I think that a safe way for me to talk about this to avoid litigation would be that isn't it so interesting that if you look at the way that certain figures die in Russia, certain political figures, they all of a sudden develop or manifest heart attacks, strokes, whatever it might be. And then they get a state funeral and everyone's very sad. And then we all move on with our life. I'm not trying to be conspiratorial here. But you have a series of whistleblowers who are coming out and they're making accusations against one of the largest companies potentially in the world. And then all of a sudden things start to go awry. Suicide out of nowhere, even though that guy who committed suicide said, hey, you guys, like, this is my life's mission, is to point out the inconsistencies within this company. It is really quite very bizarre. And as a matter of fact, I think this is what the Seattle Times was alluding to without saying it explicitly, because they said, he was 45 and had been good in health and was noted for having a healthy lifestyle. He died after 2 weeks in critical conditions, according to his aunt, Carol Parsons. I don't know. I have never met anybody that has died within 2 weeks outside of someone who has OD'd, right? Okay, so my ex-wife's dad had, he had a stroke and he had brain damage. It took him about 10 weeks to pass away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just seems very odd to me. And again, I'm not trying to be all woo-woo conspiracy about this. It just seems very odd that you have whistleblowers that are coming out against these companies and then all of a sudden they die. It just it is either a fluke of the reality that we live in and sheer coincidence.
It could be. With regard to someone who's died without warning and credit, my only experience that was through the pandemic. And not because of vaccination, but because that deadly COVID was. So I know someone.
That's what you say, Spike, but it was actually the demon squids for 5G and whatnot.
Maybe very well. But when you talk about the whiff of conspiracy and foul play on this thing, you know, it's not a guy in a pocket protector who's an engineer at Boeing. It's who does Boeing work for and with?
Defense. Right.
The federal government, the kind of guys who have the same kind of skill sets that Putin's Russia has to a large degree. It's hard to not see this and go, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. I guess it's kind of like all those Disney employees that go missing. You know what I'm talking about. That was a joke. I love Disney Corp. Please don't kill me. In bankruptcy, Giuliani set a $43,000 a monthly budget for himself. Creditors are skeptical. Now, Giuliani owes a lot of money for telling the truth about the 2020 election, Spike. Don't deny it.
That's what it is.
Telling the truth about what happened and telling, coming to the American people and letting them know.
Yeah.
That the election had been stolen, and he had mountains of evidence, he said, and he produced that evidence. But as we all know, the deep state came in and they wouldn't let him show it, even though he had those, how many cases, 70 some odd cases.
Like 61 cases brought, I think, through with really Rudy was actually his hands on.
You're not going to tell me that Donald Trump didn't win the election, Spike. Don't try to convince me otherwise. We all know that it's true. We all know it's facts. I'll stake my job on it, which is why I'm crazy enough to say it here. They don't want you to hear this, Spike, but I
want to be dead in 2 weeks. I'm not going to tell you that. I know how these guys play.
So he says that he needs $1,050 for food and housekeeping supplies and $425 for personal care products and services, and that he's also obliged to cover $13,500 in monthly nursing home expenses for his former mother-in-law. She died in March, by the way, which is, an interesting way to do that.
Those are legit. I think those are all legit expenses to his budget of required outcome, whatever the right word is.
Yeah,
that he has some expenditures on a monthly basis. But I'm not sure how that gets up to $43,000 without Rudy living a rather lavish lifestyle.
Well, he already blew through his budget. In another bankruptcy filing, he said that he actually spent nearly $120,000 in January. $120,000. He owes $153 million to creditors. And it is just, it's really quite very sad that this is the end of Rudy Giuliani. But look at what happens when you side with Donald Trump. The guy leaves as many people as he can dead and bloodied along the way. Have we had any retribution for Billy Bush? Has he ever gone back to Billy Bush and tried to get that man out of being canceled?
Yeah, there's someone who was canceled.
Right? Billy Bush.
No kidding.
Great. Well, he just went and he continued to live. That guy is unbelievably wealthy. Have you guys actually seen why he's able to not work?
Billy Bush?
Yeah.
Is it because his last name is Bush?
Is
that anything to do with the family Bush?
Great. Well, also the payout when he got fired
was
unbelievable. I mean, that guy never has to work another day in his life.
Is he single? I'm kidding.
Ah, you know it, Laura.
Can I get on a bus with him? I'm not kidding.
I know how he treats women. We got it on tape, Laura.
He just laughed.
We got it on tape, man. But so my thought about it was this. Donald Trump leaves basically everybody. He basically, how do I say this in a nice way? He has not vouched for basically anybody. Lindell has lost untold tens of billions of dollars.
He's toxic.
All of his,
Rudy, Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis, you name it. Anybody gets involved.
A lot of his former lawyers are now either broke or they've
disbarred
criminal convictions. He's basically thrown everybody under the bus. He even threw Bannon under the bus, but then he brought him back into the fold. There's not a Michael Cohen. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. How many people has Joe Biden thrown under the bus? Just out of curiosity, how many people has Joe Biden thrown under the bus? Other than the Kennedys, you know what I'm talking about. He was there at Wippapattock or whatever it was.
Jabbaquiddick?
That's the one. I like the way I say it. California Spanish. Makes more sense when I say it.
I don't know. How do you tell people who are still on that team and to ignore the mountains, the bloody trail of associates?
I mean, they don't really care. That's the thing. Is that like
any? And they keep coming back. Was it this week? Was Barr?
I think I think what this is the way it is that when you are critical of Donald Trump, people view it as an extension of themselves because they care about their country, and so they think that Donald Trump is the solution to those problems.
Right.
And so when you're critical of Donald Trump, they think that you are being critical of the solution to their own personal problems, and that's why they take it so personally. People love a messiah; they cannot get enough of it. A savior. People latch on to that idea. People like David Koresh, people like Jim Jones. Brian Jonestown Massacre. God, I am so tired. I'm mixing up my references.
That's okay.
What's going on? Jim Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on of people who love this idea that someone's going to come down and fix my life. For most Trump MAGA people, I would actually say that they are likely in some iteration of a cult. And I say that in all kindness because they do not actually realize the grift that has been befallen them in any way, shape, or form.
It's a sadder statement that so many people feel the need to have someone come down and save their life. That sense of desperation they all feel. I'll cling on to anybody who says he's on my side, who's fighting for me.
Yeah.
And this guy's been from the day he stepped into the public square.
That's why I only vote for President Jesus every time when they say, who are you voting for? Don't laugh at me, Lord.
Write-in candidate.
And I say Jesus, and then I put in parentheses, of Nazareth.
Not the other.
And then Christ.
Not Jesus.
Not Jesus.
A giant Whidbey Islander.
Jesus, parentheses, of Nazareth, and parentheses, Christo is what I put every time, right?
Beautiful.
All right, we'll take a really quick break when we get back. Laura, what am I yelling about next? I'm unbelievably tired.
Do you want to keep yelling about Trump?
He's saying that he's not going to commit to accepting the 2024 results.
Is this from the interview he did in Time Magazine? Because I think it's being misread. I think he's saying something that should give us all hope.
Let's turn it into a fun game as I almost yawn and speak at the same time.
Fundatory game.
888-973-5476. If you're still a MAGA person, tell me why, and I'll address it in the kindest way I possibly can, right?
Okay.
And we'll look on Spike's face.
I'm serious.
Don't go anywhere, people.
I am so tired. I will be so unbelievably kind if you're a MAGA person. Uh-huh. Let us know at 888-973-5476. And give me your reason why you're still voting for the guy, and we'll have a good faith text back and forth about it. And we'll also get into why he's repeating these 2020 election lies when we get back right after this. Donald Trump. A topic which does not enrage people and is always met with sound arguments. Airtight lines of logic that cannot be refuted, right, Laura? I mean, this is the kind of thing where, Laura, I've been looking at your face. I asked you to pull some text messages from people who said that they're going to be voting for Donald Trump. 888-973-5476. And as I look over at you, all I see is you just shaking your head back and forth. I just see you blushing ever so slightly. I'm assuming that you were on the receiving end of a decent amount of, let's just say, difficult material to read. Mayhap.
Well, people have been polite.
Okay.
What we've got and why I'm making this face is that we're once again doing the lesser of two evils conversation.
Oh, that's a good argument. It's not, but I'll say that to try to be in the spirit of kindness and nicety. So Donald Trump came out in his Time Magazine interview and he said, if everything's honest, I'll gladly accept the results. I don't change on that. It goes on to say, if it's not, you have to fight for your right of the country, right?
That's what he said. That's verbatim. Yeah, that's what he said.
All right.
So can I tell you how I saw that and how that gives me a little bit of optimism and hope?
Sure.
If everything's honest, I'll gladly accept the result. I don't change on that. I would put forth that in 2020, mm-hmm. Donald Trump was surrounded by people who were telling him, people like Rudy Giuliani, mm-hmm. Sidney Powell, and a host of others, Cheeseman, Eastman, Cheeseboro, Eastman, who were telling him that he did win, that there was fraud, that there was cheating.
And you think that those people are, since they're gone now, they're going to be...
I think since all those people have faced career-ending, if not jail time, mm-hmm. if not the financial destruction of Rudy Giuliani, are people going to be so quick to surround Donald Trump? Because he did that from inside.
Okay.
If he's outside, are people going to be so quick to come forward and give him this fantasy story of all these fraud accusations and all these manipulations and stealing of the election? I don't think those people are going to be there this time.
So a lot of people are talking about, so this is an argument that I often hear. It's not a very good one. It says, are we better off than 4 years ago? This is often an argument that's used by MAGA people. And I'll tell them why mm-hmm. it's not a very good one. Because if you type in how much money did Donald Trump spend in his presidency, you will see that across the board that you will see, I'll read it verbatim for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, which is run by Republicans. It says, over the course of President Trump's 4 years in office, the gross national debt grew from $19.95 trillion to $27.75 trillion, a $7.8 trillion increase, debt held by the public. And it goes on to say that the more economically meaningful measure of debt grew by $7.2 trillion over this period. So if you use that argument, if you say, are you better off now? The answer is no, comma, because of Donald Trump, because of those policies, right? The debt was already projected to grow by about $3 trillion for the 4 years of his term because we have mandatory and discretionary spending in the United States. Mm-hmm. And some of that was already written into law.
True.
So what that means is that Donald Trump, every year of his presidency, added, on average, about $1.6 trillion, right? About 1.6. Just think about that for like 2 seconds if you're a fiscally responsible conservative and you're saying to yourself, man, these Democrats are crazy with their spending. That's exactly what you see from former President Donald Trump. So what people are saying when they say, are you better off 4 years ago now than you were 4 years ago, is that you are willing to take short-term gains to incur long-term economic hardship. Another way of thinking about that is, let us just say that I've got $9,000 worth of debt, right? If I transfer that debt to another credit card, am I better off at a higher interest rate? Am I better off? I'm better off now, right? Because right.
It's not due. I got two more years.
Right. So yeah, I'm better okay. off okay. now. That's and good. Then if I reframe it, I say, hey, yeah, I was better off 2 years ago where I transferred all that debt, right?
Yeah.
So somebody else says, since Donald Trump left office, we have increased military involvement and the cost of everything has increased. Yeah, largely because of Donald Trump. But he will never get my vote because of his stance on social issues like gay rights and trans rights. I think Donald Trump actually supports gay rights, but he has no conscience and he doesn't necessarily support the things that he believes in. Donald Trump was one of the first presidential candidates to ever hold up a pride flag. October 29, 2016, he held up a pride flag at one of his events.
I remember this.
Very, very important, right? It was rigged. Anyone with a brain knows that it was. You're exactly right, 425. Glad that you still have the ability to vote. I think this is what somebody else says. I think we're all Make America Great Again registered voters. That aside, if it comes down to voting between Trump and Biden in November, I'll likely vote Trump. Sorry, can't stand either candidate. So the worst of two evils, I guess. That's from Matt in the 360. So, Matt, this is what I would say to you. In my mind, the most evil that someone can be in politics is someone who says that they're for freedom and for reducing military intervention and that they are for all these nice, wonderful things. And then they turn against those policies in an effort to subvert democracy. So when you say I'm voting for the lesser of two evils, did or has Joe Biden ever taken a group of people or encouraged a group of people or even kind of passively encouraged a group of people to go into the Capitol to try to subvert democracy? Did Joe Biden, did his cronies ever go out to different swing states and try to swap out electors? I mean, when you're talking about evil, Donald Trump is the embodiment of what it means to be an evil, malicious sociopath. Joe Biden is not exactly the brightest bulb in the bunch, but he's not exactly a Machiavellian genius when it comes to navigating.
I thought he was both.
He can't be.
I thought he was an evil genius and a doddering fool.
So when you say I'll likely vote for Donald Trump, you gotta think about this for like 2 seconds, my guy. Donald Trump lied to the American people for 4 years. He was talking about, we're going to be cutting spending and we're going to be doing this and we're going to have a balanced budget and so on and so forth. He didn't do any of that, right? As a matter of fact, if you're a Second Amendment person, Donald Trump took away your right to own a bump stock, which was later then reinstituted by the Supreme Court. So when you say the lesser of two evils, is Joe Biden walking around with neo-Nazis like Steve Bannon and Steve Miller? Like, look into why Steve Bannon was kicked out of Italy. Does anybody know why Steve Bannon was, his passport was revoked and they kicked him out?
I do, but I'm playing along.
He set up a neo-Nazi training camp at a monastery trying to start a new fascist movement in Italy. Donald Trump talks to Steve Bannon on a regular basis. Like, so when you say the lesser of two evils, I tend to be stray away from the people that associate with Nazis in terms of being evil. Steve3PO says, I just wish one, in a perfect world, both Biden and or Trump would drop out of the race due to health or an expiration date. Based, Steve.
Steve's praying. Steve's praying for an early exit. That's great.
So based. Oh, my geez, Steve. This is the way to think about politics. Giuliani is only broke because he's honest, unlike the rest of these crooks like Biden, who has stolen from the government all these years and everyone says he's just a nice old man. No, people don't say, people are very quite cruel to Joe Biden on a regular basis, myself included. You guys are idiots. Oh, Lord, I was in the middle of reading that. You guys are all idiots if you think it's ever going to be any different if Biden's in there. Different from what? I think it's different. Biden doesn't associate with Nazis. That's a pretty big difference for me. Trump, at least, was the only one that actually gave a you-know-what about what? He added 2.3 million jobs to the Department of Transportation. What did he give a you-know-what about? Right? I mean, he gutted the CDC to such a degree that when COVID-19 became a thing, they had to rehire all those just thousands of jobs. What do you mean he actually gave a you-know-what? Anyway, I like the show, but I don't know why you're such... I'm not a Biden fanatic. I will take the not-Nazi over the guy who rubs elbows with Nazis.
Be nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. We miss you. Columbia City Group pushes for Town Square Fest Street Festival. I don't know why. Why do we do this? Why are we having people in the streets dancing and whatnot?
It's more about like not having cars in the streets that the people are already in.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it when we get back right after this. We have a YouTube channel called The Jack and Spike Show. It's hilarious. It's funny. We put a lot of work into it. Mostly, we just sit down and talk into microphones. But you get to see my face. You get to see Spike's face. And we release content every day at 3 and 5. You can text us several keywords to get the link to the YouTube channel where you could subscribe and you could comment. Sometimes Laura responds to comments. Sometimes I respond to comments. But it's always nice. So whatever mean garbage you say, you will get a nice response. Always. You can go back and look through the previous comments if you want to, and you will read the nicest comments.
I cried.
Yep, that's right. Thanks, Laura.
And then I wrote a nice response.
So we thank you for admitting your emotions like that, Laura. That was great. That was very, we appreciate that
you always have you tube.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you there, John. Appreciate that, John and Sonoma. So, but we do have that YouTube channel, and you can text us at 888-973-5476. You can text soup, YouTube, grift, gay agenda.
Tweet, wow. Can you text anything?
Yeah,
our all, YouTube? Great.
Again, that's soup, YouTube.
I'll add anything to the list.
Yeah. Soup, YouTube, grift, gay agenda, any of those keywords, and you will get a link sent right to your phone, and you could subscribe. So I got an email from my buddy Clint over, he lives on, I don't want to say where he lives.
Okay,
but he's a good guy, he listens to the show on a regular basis, and he and I email back and forth, disagreements about politics.
Okay.
Real sweet guy, though, really
civil,
thoughtful guy.
Right? Respectful?
So civil, it's not
love
even
that.
Funny.
God, I love that.
So he texted me, and he said he was curious about the settlement from the harassment lawsuit that's being brought against the Washington Police Academy.
Okay, that's the $5 million lawsuit,
right? The $5 million lawsuit. Right. And so he says, who pays for a settlement? It's bad for, is it bad for me to think that $5 million is a bit too much? No, it's not. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of money, but then you also have to say, look at the aggrieved parties, mm-hmm. and you have to then factor in how much earnings that they would have lost, and then you have to factor in the fact that the lawyers are probably going to get 40% of that.
Plus, it's also supposed to be a deterrent for future activity.
Right, exactly.
And the burned hand teaches best.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a very good way of putting that, Spike. So the people who pay for that is, so generally, depending on where you are in the United States, some police forces have funds set aside for lawsuits and mm-hmm. for settlements that the taxpayers put into, it's baked into their contract. Some municipalities are insured, and they have insurance basically for these kinds of claims,
correct.
Which
correct.
We as the taxpayer pay for, meaning we pay for their insurance so that right. when they do get sued, the insurance company pays out.
Yeah.
So when we think about $5 million, it's not exactly like the city cuts a check out of the general fund or whatever it yeah. is. There's almost every major city in some way, shape, or form is insured against these kinds of claims. And or they, again, they have a fund that they have set aside for these kinds of claims.
Isn't often that drawn right from the police pension fund? Gives the police a greater incentive to police their own, if you will?
Actually, I looked into it because I was trying to get the exact detail. It depends on the police force, okay. what state they're in,
right.
and what bargain they made with the municipality.
Okay.
So it is so varied based on how people do it. I can't find an exact answer for SPD or for Washington State. But if you were to look at their, or if I talk to Mike Solon about it, I'm sure he could let me know
yep,
how will. That payout goes. Because I've got Mike on speed dial, because I like to speed, baby. And then I get Mike on speed dial, and I say, hey Mike, I just got pulled over by Officer So-and-so. You think
I have a friend in law enforcement, and I have his business card taped to the back of my license.
Do you really?
I do.
Do you really?
I really, really do.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So when I hand my license, and they turn around, oh, okay.
Well, I don't.
And they double the ticket.
I don't have a car, so I never get pulled over for
You're
speeding.
A smarter guy.
All right, Andrew A plus, my friend Nate Connors. Dang.
I'm back, baby.
Nate Connors.
Yes, sir.
Tell me that's not fitted.
Polyester.
Dang, Nate.
No one can make that look good.
I don't even see, you're not even pitted out right now, Nate.
Nope.
You're just as smooth as not seeing any stains.
I
right
shave
now.
My pits.
That's exactly what I would expect
Sweet.
From a man of your caliber.
Leave you in a sweatpants welded shut.
Exactly. Welded. Laura A plus, I didn't want to know that Connor shaves his armpits, but now we're
saving that drop.
Save that drop. Spike C plus.
Thanks, buddy.
Here's your quote of the day.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
You used a Ouija board once,
mm-hmm.
and you were able to connect with Rush Limbaugh.
Or it's guiding itself. H B.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Hi, Mr. Limbaugh.
Always hot here.